ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज हिरण्यकश्यपुस प्लान टू बिकम इमॉर्टल। श्री नारद उवाच इति उक्त्वादिभवो देवो भक्षितांगं पिपीलिकये कमंडलो जले नौक्षा दिव्य नामो घराधसा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्री नारद मुनि कंटिन्यूड After speaking these words to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Brahma, the original being of this universe, who is extremely powerful, sprinkled transcendental, infallible spiritual water from his kamandalu upon Hiranyakashipu's body, which had been eaten away by ants and moths. Thus he enlivened Hiranyakashipu. Purport. Lord Brahma is the first created being within this universe and is empowered by the Supreme Lord to create. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavayo, the Adi Deva or Adi Kavi, the first living creature, was personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the heart. There was no one to teach him, but since Lord is situated within Brahma's heart, Brahma was educated by the Lord himself. Lord Brahma, being specially empowered, is infallible in doing whatever he wants. This is the meaning of the word Amogha Radhasa. He desired to restore Hiranyakashipu's original body, and therefore by sprinkling transcendental water from his water pot, he immediately did so. So this is the chapter wherein Hiranyakashipu is planning to become immortal. And he performed severe austerities to please Lord Brahma. To such an extent, when Lord Brahma appeared there, he could not see Hiranyakashipu, because Hiranyakashipu's body was eaten by the moths and ants. And then eventually, Lord Brahma realized this is the place where Hiranyakashipu is. He was covered with the ant hills. And here, Lord Brahma is reviving Hiranyakashipu. And in the next verse we read how Lord Brahma provided Hiranyakashipu the body which was difficult even to be struck by thunderbolt. That means Hiranyakashipu could tolerate the thunderbolt. But unfortunately, Lord's nails, which are so insignificant compared to people when they grow their nails. They are so careful. Their whole consciousness on their nails. Because if you put in some place, the nail breaks. Very delicate. So these nails, the same very insignificant nails, the Lord pierced Hiranyakashipu. He destroyed him. So therefore, these are in one sense very deceptive verses in regards to providing a body which cannot be destroyed even with a thunderbolt. Because anything which is material, either it is nail or thunderbolt, they are all insignificant. But anything which is connected to Lord Vishnu, even if it is insignificant, it is most powerful. So therefore the whole plan of Hiranyakashipu to become immortal, materially it's a very, very tremendous task. He performs such an austerity. But the very basis of his becoming immortal is very insignificant or very foolish. Therefore, he tried all his austerities. He achieved some benediction from Lord Brahma. But then because he misused, and therefore he was destroyed within no time. So we read in the scriptures, like Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam, he defines liberation. Liberation means where you achieve the transcendental situation. Beautiful description. He says, liberation is not inaction, but service without human mistakes. That is the definition of liberation. Liberation is not inaction, but service without human mistakes. Hiranyakashipu, he performs so many human mistakes. In the Bhagavatam it is explained when he was creating so much of trouble to the demigods and the brahmanas and his own people. All the demigods, they approached the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord explained to them that because Hiranyakashipu is causing trouble to the cows, Vipreshu, Goshu, Vedeshu, he is creating troubles to all class of people, cows, the brahmanas and the Vedas. He said that act itself, it will destroy him. You don't have to do anything else. That act itself, when someone performs this kind of sinful activity, that very sin will destroy him. Therefore, Mahabharata explains, when you become too powerful materially, and you are convinced that nothing can happen to me, nobody can destroy me, and you cause trouble to others, the very tears of those people who are crying because of exploitation, those very tears are so powerful, the most powerful person will be drowned in that tears and will be destroyed. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu, he knew the philosophy of becoming immortal from a spiritual point of view, but foolishly he tried to become immortal on the bodily platform. That is the grossest ignorance. He knew, he had the knowledge. In Kali Yuga, most people don't have the knowledge. The scientists, those who are trying to become immortal, maintain this body as long as possible, they don't have the knowledge of the Atma Gyan. Hiranyakashipu had the knowledge of Atma Gyan, but still his endeavor to become immortal on the bodily platform is very foolish. But at the same time we see, even a practicing devotee, he somehow or other gets hooked to this principle of bodily concept of life. The fear is still there, oh this body, and we provide so much of comforts to this body. Hiranyakashipu was trying to become immortal, but he didn't even have a long life. His life was cut in the middle by Lord Narasingadev. He didn't even live the lifespan which Brahmaji had given him. As long as the creation is there, as long as Brahma is there, that long he could have lived. But because he misused that lifespan, he didn't even live his lifespan. So similarly, what to speak of being immortal in this mundane world, in Kali Yuga, people don't even live their lifespan. Why? Because the habits, the living style is so artificial. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains very beautiful 8 symptoms of being a Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means you are there in this world, still living with this material body, but because of engagement in Krishna consciousness, you are already liberated. Jivan Mukta Sauchate. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains, Iha Yasya Harirdase Karmana Manasa Gira. Karmana, manasa and gira. By your words, by your mind and by your activities. Because you are engaged in Krishna service, even though you are still a material body, you are liberated. By the mind means there is no anxiety. One is not depressed. There is no burden. If the burden is there, then it becomes very difficult to practice devotional service. Therefore, the very nature of bhakti, what does it do? Klesha Agni. It destroys all the kleshas. And when the kleshas are destroyed, Shubhada, we experience happiness on all levels, not only in the mundane level. The very fact in this mundane world, in the material world, we consider happiness to be the comforts of gross matter. Our surrounding has to be comfortable. It doesn't matter what is your mind doing with you. And therefore we see, now we are seeing so much of economic growth. People are making so much of money. But still, recently our Yudhishthira Prabhu sent one article, you know, very scary in Bombay, about 46 every two marriage out of five marriages, there are divorce rate. Out of 1,04,000 marriages, 47,000 people have registered for divorce. And these are all people who have material comforts. But the mind is so disturbed, they can't stand their partners. Therefore here, Rupa Goswami explains, karmana vacha manasa. Karmana vacha gira. That on the bodily platform there is comfort, there is happiness. On the platform of the mind also there is comfort. So only when that is there, then we make further progress in devotional life. Therefore he explains that apahata papa, the first principle or the first symptom of a jivan mukta is that it is freed from all sinful activity. One who is practicing devotional service in Krishna consciousness, means he is thinking of Krishna, such a practicing devotee, when he engaged in Krishna consciousness, then it is seldom that he will fall to sinful activity. Therefore Prabhupada said, one who takes the vow of four regulative principle in the presence of the spiritual master, in the presence of the deities, in the presence of the devotees, he makes that determined vow not to break the regulative principle. That is the first symptom of he being liberated, that he does not go back to his old habits. He becomes extra careful. Therefore Krishna explains, one who is freed from all sinful activities, one who engages with determination in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he attains the highest perfection. That is the first principle. That he is extra careful. It is not that he takes it lightly. He does not take it lightly. He becomes extra careful not to fall into his old habits. And then the second symptom, Srila Prabhupada explains, vijara. Vijara means not subject to misery of old age. Old age is there. It is not that the old age will not come. One who has the material body, the old age will come. But he is not suffered, he doesn't suffer because of the old age. He practices, continues to practice his devotional service. Rather, his determination increases because old age. Devamrita Swami Maharaj is giving an example. When you see a grey hair, some wrinkles on your face, it is like a yellow signal. When there is a yellow signal, what do you do? You don't rush. You know, yellow signal means now the red signal is going to come. You stop. So when you see those grey hairs and wrinkles, and when you get up in the morning, some place there is a pain. A young person cannot experience that. The old man, he experiences. So when he experiences those pains, then he realizes, I am approaching old age. So therefore, rather than being disturbed because of that old age and trying to cover it artificially, just see, again, in Kali Yuga, a conditioned soul is so much wants to forget. This is Krishna's mercy. He is providing the facilities. Now is the time you become more serious in devotional service. But the material world has provided so many things that you forget this, that you are old. You know, dye your hair. No, perform a surgery and tighten your wrinkled face. Just to forget the whole concept that you are old. But the material world says, okay, now I am providing you to become more serious in Krishna consciousness. Take to spiritual culture very seriously. Like one devotee was mentioning, one Sanskrit scholar to one of our devotee, and he said, pachas, the word pachas means, when you become 50, pachas, as means desires. When you are 50 years old, still your desires are not fulfilled. But when you become 51, ekka one, one means go to the forest. The words in Hindi or in Sanskrit, they indicate what you are supposed to do. Ekavan. Ekavan means? One means forest. Now you start preparing to go to Vrindavan, to the spiritual world. So the old body is a facility to increase one's commitment to Krishna. Not to increase all artificialities to show and portray, I am still young, and forget that I am not becoming old. So that is the second way one becomes liberated, vijara, not subject to misery of old age. Old age is there, but you don't suffer the consequences of the old age. Vimrityu prepares himself so that he does not take another material body. Vimrityu. Mrityu means death, but old age is a preparation that Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam first canto. Why should we protect old people? What is the need to protect old people? Because protecting old people means providing the facilities for old people to attain the highest perfection. If you don't provide facilities, if you don't protect them, the anxiety leads to another material body. They'll have to come back, accept another material body in this complicated world. But providing that facilities to practice their spiritual life in a comfortable way, so that they no more take this material body in this world. Therefore, the old age is a facility to take shelter of Krishna so that an old man, he does not take another material body. He does not come back to this world. And that is the third way of the Jivan Mukta symptoms. Vishoka, callous to material distress and happiness. The danger in the practicing devotee is not the misery. Because when we are miserable, there is a greater resistance. You tolerate. And there is a great struggle. When there is a struggle in your life, you have the ability to tolerate it. But the trouble is when there is comforts and sense gratification, then we bend. We actually surrender. We become intoxicated by that pleasure. Therefore, if someone wants to know who is made of a good character, they say, don't give him trouble, because he will resist. The power is there to resist. If you want to actually see who is made of a good character, provide him unlimited material comforts. Then he is tempted. Therefore, here Vishoka means, actually Shoka means misery. But here Srila Prabhupada explains, Vishoka means, one is callous to both misery and happiness. And therefore Mother Kunti, she was not scared of miseries. Because there is a natural tendency that you become very defensive. You become very alert when the miseries are there. But when there is a comfortable life, we don't become alert. We go along with it. And therefore when Krishna is going back to Dwarka, Kunti prayed that, my dear Lord, he said, let the calamities come upon me again and again. Why? Because in calamity, it's much easier to remember you. Therefore, Shripada Ramanujacharya explains that these four kinds of people who come to Krishna, Artho, Artharthi, Jnani and Jigyasu, he said, he talks about their good qualities and he also talks about their bad qualities. Their good qualities are that they will not approach any demigods. They will only approach Krishna. And they are quite honest in regards to their desires. Their desires are material. They will come to Krishna. And they will say, we want our desires to be fulfilled. Artho, Artharthi, Jigyasu. Especially these three categories. But their bad quality is that when their desires are fulfilled, they stop coming to Krishna. They may not go to any demigods. But even with Krishna, they will not come. And the example is given of Sugriv. Sugriv's desires were fulfilled. Lord Ram fulfilled his desire. He had lost his wife. He had lost his kingdom. And the Lord provided him. After providing that, the Lord was waiting. Lord Ramchandra was waiting. The 4 months of Chaturmas passed. But Sugriva, because of the enjoyment, he was not alert. He forgot that 4 months have passed. Not only forgot that 4 months have passed, when Lakshman came, When Lakshman came to the palace of Sugriv, Sugriv understood Lakshman wrongly. He understood Lord Ram also wrongly. He actually condemns the principle of mundane friendship. Just see, you know, this person is coming to attack me. Hanumanji had to tell him, it is not his fault, it is your fault, my dear Sugriv. The 4 months have passed. You had promised Lord Ram that you will help him. Therefore, it is your mistake, not the mistake of Lord Ram. Therefore, Vishoka means both. A practicing devotee or a devotee, he is callous to both misery and happiness. He does not make an issue out of it. He tries to avoid it by certain systems, but he does not make an issue out of it. No, doesn't create a... He doesn't minimize his devotional service because misery or happiness. That is the symptom of a fourth category, the Jnani Bhakta. Therefore, he is very dear to Krishna. The other three, you know, first they are Artho, then Artharthi. Their distress is over, but they want more money. Such people, according to Ramanuja, you know, they will come, but they will forget Krishna also. And then the fifth one is Vijikatsa. He desires no material enjoyment, little higher. Before he is callous, if it comes, he is not absorbed in that. But the next one is that he desires no material enjoyment. Because Srila Prabhupada explains, material enjoyment and Krishna consciousness go ill together. They go ill together. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Raghunath Das Goswami, very, very instructive verses are there. One who is after sense enjoyment, iti uti dhai, running here and running there. When you run here and there for sense gratification, he says, then you cannot attain Krishna. Krishna naipad. It is not possible. So when we seek material enjoyment in spiritual life, then that is natural consequence is that there is a less attention on Krishna. So therefore, the previous one is to be callous. But the next one is to be specifically desiring no material enjoyment. Therefore, it is explained the difference between Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj and the gopis. Dhruva Maharaj desired material enjoyment. But when he met Krishna, he was repenting. Why did I come here asking for broken piece of glasses? But the original desire was there. And therefore Krishna said, okay, stay in this world. Enjoy. For more than 30,000 years. So he had to stay and fulfill his original desire. And Prahlad Maharaj, much higher than him in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explains that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, pure devotional service begins in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto. Of course, the principle of pure devotional service is there in every verse. But the 7th canto where Prahlad Maharaj is speaking what pure devotional service is. But even Prahlad Maharaj, in the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, Lord Narasimhadev told Prahlad, he immediately didn't take him back to the spiritual world. He said, Bhogyana Punyam Kushalena Papam. He said, my dear Prahlad, that you have to exhaust all your pious activity by enjoying it. Very risky. And Kushalena Papam, and whatever sinful activities are there, the reaction to sinful activities you overcome by performing good activities. In this way, you continue to stay in this world. Very risky. You have to enjoy your quota of punya and you have to undo your sinful activities. And in this way, when you exhaust all your quota, then you will go back to the spiritual world. But for a pure devotee of the Lord, beyond the level of Prahlad Maharaj, we can't even imagine Dhruva Maharaj's level. And what to speak of the gopis? With the Brajabasis, Krishna did not give them this concept. Bhogyana Punyam Kushalena Papam. Their Punya and Papa is described that simply on contemplating on Krishna, when they were not allowed to go to Krishna, some of the gopis were not allowed to go to Krishna. Before they had the anticipation that we are going to meet Krishna. That was their punya. They had exhausted all their punya by contemplating that we will meet Krishna. All their piety was exhausted. But when they were stopped to visit Krishna, all their pap was destroyed. And what they attained was immediate perfection. They didn't have to wait in this mundane world. Because they are beyond the sadhaka level. So therefore, a devotee of the Lord desires specifically praise to Krishna for no material enjoyment. Because material enjoyment is what? That you have to stay in this world and to enjoy that. You enjoy, that means extension of this material body for many years. The next one is apipata. Desires only to be engaged in Krishna activities. Not enjoying, not aspiring for material enjoyment, one can be jnani also. There are Buddhist philosopher and other philosophers, they don't aspire for sense gratification. They perform tapasya, but they don't perform devotional service to the Lord. So therefore, simply austerity is no devotional service is a demonic concept also. Therefore, aspiring for devotional service is more important than seeking no material enjoyment. So therefore, a devotee of the Lord, he desires to be engaged in Krishna service. Therefore, Prabhupada's definition of mukti is that engagement in Krishna service without the human mistakes. If that engagement is not there, only austerity is there, then it becomes hard-hearted. So therefore, the Vaishnava path, the Vaishnava concept of spirituality is what? Higher than no enjoyment is actual engagement in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is also another way to become Jivan Mukta. And then the next one is Satya Kama. All his desires are directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he has a desire, which he has, every living entity, as long as he has a life, he will have desires. And even after quitting his body, he will still have a desire. Because one cannot live without desires. Therefore, all his desires are directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satya Kama. And the last one, Srila Prabhupada explains, is Satya Sankalpa. Satya Sankalpa means that whatever he desires, the previous one is Satya Kama. Satya Kama means only desiring what is favorable in Krishna service. And the next one is Satya Sankalpa. Satya Sankalpa means whatever he desires, Krishna fulfills. Without having the previous one, if you only have the next one, then we will desire wrongly. Therefore, Satya Sankalpa means whatever he desires, Krishna fulfills. But to attain this platform, one has to have the previous platform also. Satya Kama. Satya Kama means only desiring which is favorable to Krishna. And therefore, the next one, like someone asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he had big plans. Big plans for what? For establishing the Gaudiya Math. And they asked him, where will you get the money from? He said, no big deal. He said, just one brick from the spiritual world is sufficient to establish this whole Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Why? Because the Satya Kama is there, the Satya Sankalpa will also be fulfilled. He said, one brick is sufficient. Srila Prabhupada also said, money? He said, money is in the air. You can catch. But why Krishna does not fulfill our desire? We have desire to practice devotional service, establish Krishna consciousness, but the previous one is not there. Satya Kama is not there. Only desiring for Krishna's activities. Without having that, if Krishna provides the next one, whatever we desire, sometimes we desire. I remember when I used to go for Sankirtan, you know, walking up to this bus stop where all the college kids would be around doing all kind of nonsense and taking the bus to the Karnak Bandar or Masjid or Kalbadevi. It was a very difficult task. Doing Sankirtan was not a difficult thing, but traveling was a difficult thing. Sometime I would wish I could fly from here to Karnak Bandar without going through that trouble. But Krishna will not fulfill that because I'll fly somewhere else rather than doing my service. So therefore, you know, Krishna is so kind. He allows us to go through the difficulties without providing the facilities, because knowing if I provide the facility, he is not ripe, he will misuse it. Like our Balwant Prabhu was mentioning that Prabhupada wanted to be the, he never wanted to be the prime minister or a president. He wanted to be a teacher or the guru to the president. And he said one day the Krishna consciousness movement will take over the whole, you know, administration of different countries. But then Balwant Prabhu was making a comment. He said, not with our kind of, you know, then those who are not very mature devotees. He said, you just imagine if they were the leaders of the whole country, then that would cause lot of difficulty. It is not that the materialistic people are very strong. They are not strong. They are weak. But the devotees, if they are strong and they are proper leaders, then Krishna will give them the reins. Otherwise, if they are not matured and if the power is given, then naturally they will not use it properly. Therefore, this last one, Satya Sankalpa, is a very risky benediction if you don't have this Satya Kama. That aspiring only for Krishna service. A practicing devotee has a desire to serve Krishna, but along with that he also has the desire for his own sense gratification. But when he follows this principle, becomes very strong in this principle, only desiring for Krishna, then actually Krishna fulfills all the desire of his devotees. Like we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Because he had no other desire other than fulfilling the desire of his spiritual master. When he came to the West, he was not fascinated. Every Indian one who goes there, he is fascinated by the facilities of, the mundane facilities provided by the Western world. But when Prabhupada went there, in the song we read, what did he see? He saw suffering. He didn't see enjoyment. He didn't see facilities for enjoyment. He could see through and through that they are suffering. It's very difficult to see like that. You only see comfort. You get fascinated. But Prabhupada could see suffering. And because he could see suffering, and then he wanted to provide them comfort in devotional service, and therefore he had the conviction that actually there are hundreds of temples, there are hundreds of devotees chanting Hare Krishna. There are hundreds of people practicing devotional life. Only the time is separating. He told that professor, sitting on a park in the bench, and he was talking about Krishna consciousness which was not established, but he could visualize. Why? Because that visualization is nothing but Satya Sankalpa. Whatever a pure devotee desires, Krishna fulfills. When Prabhupada came here, he said, you know, let there be a temple here. That is Satya Sankalpa. So therefore, Krishna is forced to fulfill the desire of his pure devotee. If not immediately, then Krishna did not fulfill in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. But Krishna fulfilled that desire. So therefore, whatever a pure devotee desires, the last one, the Satya Sankalpa, by becoming the Satya Kama, desiring nothing other than the service of Krishna, then when he desires, Krishna may fulfill in his very lifetime, or Krishna may fulfill in the future. And that is also the characteristics of the Pandavas. In fact, Krishna forced them to become Satya Sankalpa. They had become so detached, they didn't want to fight. They had no material desires. But Krishna actually made them to desire. Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj and other Pandavas. And he established their desires. And then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in the conclusion, Prabhupada quotes him. And then a devotee, after going through this gradual progression of 8 kinds of liberated lifestyle, then he becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Then he goes back to the spiritual world and he attains the same nature of Krishna. What is that? The nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he doesn't take birth and he doesn't die. And the same nature is attained by a devotee. But to attain that platform of going back to Godhead, in this very lifetime when he is practicing devotional service, he has to go through these 8 stages. He has to go through these 8 stages. If it does not go through these 8 stages, then one has to stay back. Like Prabhupada told Jayanand Prabhu, when he left his body, he wrote that letter. That letter is famous letter. He said, if you had any material desire, you will go to the heavenly planets. Enjoy for 10,000 years. He is talking to his own devotee. So sometime, you know, we make that statement when he has gone back to the spiritual world. Immediately. But Prabhupada was very clear. He wrote that letter. It was printed in the BTG magazine. That if he had any material desire, you have to come back for 10,000 years and enjoy. But only when he came to know that, no, he was chanting Hare Krishna, you know, tightly holding the tape of Srila Prabhupada's, remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the time of death, he said, no, then he has gone back to the spiritual world. But he gave the both nature. If you have material desires, you have to come back. But if you practice nicely devotional service, go through these 8 stages, become freed from all material desires, and aspire only for Krishna's service, then you no more come back to this world. You don't receive any more material body. And that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. But here we see Hiranyakashipu, you know, he's planning to become immortal from a mundane point of view. And what to speak of becoming immortal, Brahmaji makes it very clear that he'll not become immortal. What to speak of immortal, becoming immortal, he didn't even had a complete lifespan. Why? Because he misused the benediction of Brahma and he was killed by the Lord in the middle. His lifespan was terminated in the middle because he offended the cows, he offended the Brahmanas, and more so he offended a pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, because he was killed by Lord Vishnu, he also went back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. Yesterday's purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that a devotee, rather the demigods who are there in Satyaloka, when they die, they go to the Vaikuntha planets. So the doubt that came to my mind was regarding that letter that was written to Jayanand, that a devotee who still has material desires, he goes to the heavenly planets, and then after 10,000 years, he enjoys over there and then has to come back into the material world. So this was a contradiction in my mind. That how then, because when he goes to the heavenly planets, he becomes a demigod. So after he leaves his body, he should, as per Prabhupada's purport, should go back to the Vaikuntha Loka.
No, therefore, sometime the Brahma Loka is also Vaikuntha planet. When Lord Vishnu occupies the position of Lord Brahma, no, those who are connected to that Brahma who is Lord Vishnu, naturally they would not. I don't know if every Brahma Loka, you know, we also hear from other places where even the Brahma has to come back to this world sometimes. Originally every living entity, this also we have heard, that is a Brahma. But what I understood is that a Brahma who is Lord Vishnu, then the demigods. And again, devotional services can be practiced anywhere and everywhere. Much easier here than the heavenly planets. But if someone is exceptionally good, even from the heavenly planets, can go back to the spiritual world. That is the definition of devotional service. Apratiyata hituki. One can practice, but it is difficult. Similarly, in hellish planet also one can practice devotional service by the very definition of devotional service. But it is difficult. But here it is the most easy. So therefore, you know, the demigods, generally, the description is that they come back. Like in the Mahabharata, that story is there, Mudgal Rishi. And this makes it very clear when Mudgal Rishi, he pleased Durvasmani, Durvasmani sent him. He said, okay, I'll send you to heavenly planets. Which is very rare in Mahabharata, you find about the spiritual world. You only talk about heavenly planets. So he was awarded heavenly planets and the Devadutas came to Mudgal Rishi. And they said, okay, come with us. We have got a special airplane for you. And Mudgal Rishi asked them, what are the advantages of going to the heavenly planets? What are the characteristics of people who are in the heavenly planets? He explained how there is no old age, there is no disease, there is no, you know, pregnancy, and how everyone is fresh, there is no starvation, there is no exhaustion, there is youth, you can be all the time young. And he gave all the description of being in the heavenly planets. Then Mudgal Rishi was wise to ask the disadvantages also. When we live in this mundane world, when we see material comforts, the natural tendency of human being is to close to the disadvantages factor. Don't hear about it. Only talk about advantages. If you live a comfortable, materialistic, you know, hedonistic life, what are the advantages? There is no advantage, but you assume advantage and you don't even look at the disadvantages. You don't look out for the disadvantage. But Mudgal Rishi was very, very much calculated. He said, tell me the disadvantages. And they said, the heavenly planets, your very body is made of your pious activity. Very interesting. He said, your very body is made of pious activities. When your pious activities are finished, suddenly you are dropped from there. Because your piety is not there, so you don't have the body. You come back to this mundane world. And he said, the people who are in the heavenly planets, they get the glimpse. He said, at the last point, their flower garland, which never fades, starts fading. Then you realize that my piety is getting exhausted. And that living entity falls into such a great anxiety in the heavenly planets. And he comes down to this earthly planet. The Devadutas are saying this to Mudgal Rishi. So when they come down here, because they had the experience and habit of living a comfortable life, when they come to mundane world, they miss those pleasures. And they suffer more than an ordinary living entity. Because they had such an experience of living a comfortable life. He explained all this stuff. And then he has to go back. Because he had performed piety, he gets a human form of life. But there is no guarantee that he will continue to remain a human. So Mudgal Rishi said, so many disadvantages. Why should I go there? He said, do you have any other place where there is no such dualities, good and bad? Devadutta said, we know about it, but we are not qualified to go there. And then they talk about the Vaikuntha planet. They talk about the inexhaustible Vaikuntha planet. Once you go there, you never come back from there. So Mudgal Rishi says, you go home. I don't want your plane. I will work for it. I will perform devotional service. I will perform tapasya to go to that planet. So therefore, according to Devadutta itself, that place is the place where you have to come back here. Because the piety, you know, gets exhausted. So therefore, you know, I remember reading or hearing that those demigods who are with Lord Brahma, who is Lord Vishnu in Satyaloka, they are the one who go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, the general description is that any demigod has to come back to this mundane world. Therefore, the Brahma Samhita prayer explains, Yastvindra Gopam Atavendra Ahostva Karma. From Indra Gopa to Indra, both, you know, they have to exhaust their karma. They have to perform their karma activities. And therefore the demigods are called as Karma Sachiv. Karma Sachiv means it's like, you know, if you are standing, your shadow also stands. You can't expect your shadow to bend when you are standing. So karma is like that. You know, you get what you have done. You can't expect them to act otherwise. That is the demigods what they offer. But Krishna is Dina Vatsala. Even if you don't bend, Krishna will, you know, accept as if you have offered him obeisance. So therefore, you know, according to the general description, the demigods have to come back. Bhagavad Gita very clear, Ra Brahma Bhuvana Loka, Punaravrittuna Arjuna. Brahma Loka, Krishna is only saying. Therefore it is very seldom this happens. So Prabhupada must be quoting the Brahma who is pure devotee or he is Lord Vishnu himself. Dada Kapinam, any other comment? Gauram Prabhu? Brahmalok. कुछ है? प्लीज ओपन अप. This is what I have read or understood. If somebody has any other understanding, please, you can share. Your question? Bolo Prabhuji. Nahin?
Prahlad Maharaj was a, what do you call, like a Narayan Parayan devotee, means like whether he was put in hell, heaven, he would do his devotion service. So Lord Narasimhadev asking him to finish his pious credits doesn't matter. I mean, like, because he would continue his devotion service regardless of whatever the situation is. He's always in that consciousness or in the connection with the Lord. So I'm asking is that does Prahlad Maharaj come to that stage, the number you're given, I mean like the 8 stages of liberation, does he come, is that example the right example to give? Or
but I didn't get last one, what you said?
Is that example a right one to give, or I mean like is it applicable, or is it?
Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj already following, as I said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, pure devotional service begins in the 7th canto with Prahlad Maharaj's story, because Prahlad Maharaj exhibited that the Lord was wanting to provide him material enjoyment. He was scared of material enjoyment. And then when he asked for benediction, he said, I am not a shopkeeper. I am not a, you know, my relationship with is not of the relationship of a shopkeeper. I give something and you give me. It's beyond that. Naturally he was. But still the Lord, you know, asked him to live in this world for many years. And he said, enjoy your piety and exhaust your impiety, even though there was nothing. But that is a strange verse. The verse is there. Lord Narasimhadev is speaking to Prahlad Maharaj that, you know, you exhaust. Even though there was nothing, there was no piety and there was no impiety in Prahlad Maharaj.
Another question. Seeing Lord Prahlad Maharaj, like what Lord Narasimhadev asked him to do, I'm just thinking about we being the Kali Yuga denizens. We try to, Shravanam and Kirtanam, trying to lead to Ante Narayan Smriti, mean like trying to remember the Lord at the end of our lives. This steps of liberation seems to be very difficult for everyone to follow or everyone to take up. I just want to ask is, what is the amount of descending mercy that's going to help us? To actually, overcome our weaknesses, because the very age is like that. And
therefore, descending mercy is already there. You know, we should not squander it. That is the only disadvantage in Kali Yuga. Because it is Kali Yuga, Krishna is extremely merciful in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is providing the facilities of not Dhruva Maharaj, not Prahlad Maharaj, but the facilities what the gopis of Vrindavan got. And but still one has to pay the price. The price is Shravanam Kirtanam. That if we don't engage in Shravanam Kirtanam, just hope, you know, our life will be led to the level of gopis, then we don't deserve it. At least some price has to be paid, otherwise something comes so cheaply, we don't value it. Then we become Kritagna, like Indra, when Durvasmuni offered him that garland. He didn't deserve. It was Durvasmuni's desire to offer that garland. What Indra did? Indra was intoxicated. He had associating with an elephant. Huh? Elephant, Prabhupada explains, ignorance from outside and ignorance from inside. Huge body. Huge body. And therefore what he did? He took that garland and right in front of Durvasmuni offered it to Airavat. And what is the nature of elephant? Anything you hold, press it, trample it. So Airavat took that garland and trampled. That should not happen. That is Kritagna. Kritagna means somebody is doing good to you, and you take that good and trample it. But on the other hand, Kritagnyata means, Kritagnya means what to remember all the time. Always remember. When you remember, and how do you remember? We can't remember unless we hear. What we are getting? We are getting that special garland of Mahaprabhu. But we have the tendency, if we don't hear Krishna Katha regularly, to take that same garland and trample with our Airavat false ego. or negligence. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam 7th canto. Three reasons why a devotee falls down. Negligence of his spiritual practice because of laziness, one of the most dangerous. You know, just because of negligent, taking it for granted, not being very serious. Therefore, some of our devotees have designed the sadhana card, you know, to become, you know, very alert. You could be mechanical in sadhana card also, just for the sake of writing it, but not actually going through all the limbs of sadhana card what you mentioned. Chanting, japa, hearing Krishna katha. So therefore, negligence is one of the greatest distraction from being a proper devotee. And then Vaishnava aparad. Committing Vaishnava aparad. Sometime, you know, we have the tendency, he is not a good Vaishnava. So committing offenses will not cause a serious damage. We conclude first that he is not a Vaishnava. So therefore, offending him is not a big deal. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you know, I was reading somewhere, he said, even if a Vaishnava has all bad qualities, you see him doing gross mistakes, but some other is accepted in philosophy that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he said, even he is a Vaishnava. And offending such a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava aparad. What to speak of someone who is doing so much of devotional service and little mistake. He said, all mistake is doing, performing all kind of abominable activities, but some other is accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord. If you are not involved in his life to rectify and help him and offend him just casually, recklessly, and what to speak of internet aparads. Only not you offend and you make others also offend. Going to internet and watching about others' activities. So just imagine that we hear so less and we dwell on others' mistakes. So that is the second way. These are realities in the Bhagavad Prabhupada mentions. Negligence, Vaishnava aparad, and third is Krishna's will. If Krishna wants you to fall down, no, then what can be done? Nobody can stop. Like Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, Jai Vijay. No, aparad, four kumaras, it was the will of the Lord. Krishna wanted them to come down. So when Krishna desires, but we know that Krishna doesn't desire for us. Krishna has given us these two choices. Don't be negligent and don't offend devotees. If we can overcome these two principles, and then we are not restless in performing devotional service. Restlessness is caused because of negligence and offenses. There is no attention to hearing. There is no respect for hearing. Then we just distract. Our mind is distracted to so many other things. A practicing devotee, you know, rather than giving importance to sadhana bhakti of chanting and hearing, he gives attention to something else which is not sadhana bhakti, which is not chanting and hearing. He absorbs his mind which is not purifying him, rather is putrefying him. So any service which is done by any devotee, if it does not balance with chanting and hearing, sufficient chanting and hearing, then you are forced. You are forced to commit mistakes. You are forced to take it lightly. And then slowly, slowly sit behind as possible for hearing Krishna Katha. How can you hear? Parikshit Maharaj explains, Sukadeva Goswami explained it very clearly, attentive listening and respectful listening. Second canto, how to hear, very important. Attentive listening and respectful listening. That can never take place. When you lean back as far as possible, there is no respect for the speaker. And there is no attention, but there is so much of distraction. So Gopinath Chandrapur is a very good example. Hearing very carefully, sitting in the front. No, it is a mundane thing, but it is a reality. When we lack that attention and respect, you cannot be made law all the time. One has to understand that I am becoming casual. I am becoming less attentive. It's a physical thing. Krishna offers perfection even in physical things. Just being close, hearing Krishna Katha. We see there is a natural increased attention. And you sit down out there in the park, hearing the speaker is there. You are watching 100 things happening. Then your attention is less, your respect is less. Then you can't hear properly. Then that becomes your habit. And however many rules are made, you know, you don't change because you become like an elephant. Nothing can change. So therefore, mercy is there. The garland of mercy is there. But Krishna cannot just, okay, I'm putting the garland. Even if he puts the garland, he'll take it out and put it, give it to the Airavat. You trample it. I don't want this garland. In the future, I will take it. But meanwhile, the offense is created. Therefore, negligence, offenses, and, you know, Krishna's will. Although the mercy is flowing. The mercy is flowing. One has to... It is not that you do something else to receive the mercy. Mercy is flowing, and what we do is that we stop the mercy. We put a block. The pipe of the, you know, the pipe of mercy is coming, you block it by something which is very insignificant. Therefore, I think it's time. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.